You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The weather is getting cooler, the days are shorter, and in parts of California, the sky fills with flashes of black, white, and brilliant orange. It is not falling leaves. It is a tradition of nature, the annual winter migrations of the Western Monarch Butterfly. Over the course of a few months, tens of thousands of these iconic insects will travel thousands of miles to escape the cold at locations up and down the California coast. These overwintering gatherings, they're really stunning to see, and they also play a crucial role in the insects' efforts to breed and ultimately one-way migration. And these efforts will be crucial for the species' continued survival, as their population counts have reached near record lows in recent years. So, where are the best places to see these gatherings, these clusterings, and how can we help ensure that these butterflies endure for future generations for others to enjoy? Joining us to talk more about these insects' marathon journey is Isis Howard, an endangered species conservation biologist for the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit, just starting off, about what the Xerces Society is and what it does.
Yeah, so the Xerces Society is named after a little blue butterfly that went extinct a few decades ago. It was the first butterfly to go extinct to human causes. And so that's our namesake. And our mission is to protect nature through the conservation of invertebrates and their habitat.
How did you become interested in kind of devoting a career to being a conservation biologist?
Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, it's a sweet story. So my parents have 5 acres up in Sonoma County, and I grew up as an only child playing in the creek, in the gardens. They started an organic farm. So I've always had this appreciation of kind of living in sync with our ecosystem. And then I went to Cal Poly, so similar to Davis, ag school, ag focus, environmental focus. And I just fell in love with the butterflies. San Luis Obispo is one of those places where we can see the clustering monarch butterflies at the Pismo Monarch Butterfly Sanctuary. So when I first saw it, fell in love.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how was it taking it in for the first time if someone hasn't been before?
If magic is real, you're going to find it at Monarch Butterfly Sanctuaries.
That is wonderful. And I love the earrings, too. Isis is wearing Monarch Butterfly earrings right now. Okay, so let's turn to the star of these current migrations, what we're talking about this morning. Yeah. So monarchs are clustering along the California coast right now. Where are they coming from, and also why?
Yeah, so the monarch butterflies clustering along the California coast are what we call the Western monarch population. A lot of times people think of monarch butterflies and they think of that incredible migration from Canada down to Mexico. And that is the larger eastern monarch population. So we do have monarchs that are native to North America, but they're kind of divided by these Rocky Mountains. The western monarchs that we're seeing in our state are coming from places like Washington, Oregon, Nevada, California. And they also cluster not only along the California coast, but also into Baja California, Mexico.
What is it about being along the coast that monarchs like?
Yeah, so monarchs are seeking kind of protected tree groves during this time of year so that they can survive the winter storms, the freezing temperatures, and the rainfall. So they're clustering along the coast because the ocean provides this natural buffer for temperature, so they're not going to freeze. Whereas they breed and mate inland where the milkweed's growing, they're actually spending the winters on the coast so that they can survive these winters.
Yeah, yeah. And that's their food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to have milkweed. You know, when learning about the FAQ that you had, you know, on the website, you know, it's just so interesting that it's really a one-way migration and that it's kind of like imprinted in them, like in their DNA to know where to go and where to overwinter and to cluster together.
Yeah, so this is another part of that magic. There's multiple generations of monarch butterflies that contribute to this grand journey. The monarchs are going to be migrating hundreds to thousands of miles each year, and there's multiple generations that span that migration. So these butterflies that are clustering along the coastline of California were, you know, birthed in a completely different location inland. And so they've never seen these trees. And yet we see the monarchs return to the same exact grove, sometimes the same trees and the same branches on the trees each year, which is really incredible.
Kind of reminds me of salmon.
Oh, yeah, it does. Exactly. The natal streams.
Yeah. And they know how to get back to their spawning ground.
Ancestral knowledge, something like that.
It's incredible. So when it comes to the Western monarchs that are currently clustering and overwintering in California, how long are they going to be there?
Yeah. So we call this the super generation of monarch butterflies. These butterflies live anywhere from 3 months to 9 months long. Whereas when we see butterflies breeding and on the milkweed during the summer and spring, those butterflies are only going to live a couple weeks. So this super generation can live a really long time. They're migrating down from the milkweed breeding areas to the coast. And we often see the overwintering season or the clustering season last from October through February, first week or so of March. But right now is a really special time. So if you've never seen these butterflies clustering along the coast of California, now is the time. November and December marks the peak season to see all these butterflies and this natural phenomenon.
Yeah, we're only a couple days from the weekend and the holidays are around. So maybe some people are taking, you know, some time off. So where are the best spots for people to see these monarchs?
I'd recommend visiting the Pacific Grove Butterfly Sanctuary in Monterey, the Natural Bridges State Park Butterfly Sanctuary in Santa Cruz, the Pismo Butterfly Sanctuary down in San Luis Obispo. There's also Elwood Mesa down in Santa Barbara.
Wonderful. There's a lot of options.
Yeah. And I also want to mention those are the great places because there's docents who can teach you about monarchs, really publicly accessible and wheelchair friendly trails as well. But if you want to check out the map of all of our hundreds of overwintering sites along the coast, you can go to westernmonarchcount.org and check out our interactive map.
And that count is really important. Last year, we had our environment reporter at Cap Radio, Manolo Sakaita, explain, you know, the declining populations of monarch butterflies over the decades. I mean, what are their biggest threats and how bad has this decline been?
So it's a little bit of a different story between Western and Eastern monarchs. The Western monarchs that we're seeing here in our state have declined more than 95% since the 80s. We used to see low millions back in the 80s. There'd be so many butterflies clustering on trees that the tree branches would actually droop with the weight of monarch butterflies. And just for reference, monarchs weigh less than a paperclip. So it takes a lot of butterflies to droop a tree branch. And the Eastern population, which is larger, that's the Canada to Mexico migration, those have declined by about 70 to 80%. So we're seeing declines in monarchs across the board in North America. And the primary factors that have led to this drop in Western monarch butterflies include, you know, pesticide use, which includes fungicides, herbicides, and other pesticides. And then also climate change is really contributing. We're seeing more frequent, more intense storms that are damaging habitat. Talking about habitat, we're also seeing a lot of loss of habitat, both the breeding milkweed zones, nectar resources, but also these really protective, critical overwintering groves that support and protect the monarchs during wintertime as well.
And the reason why you're able to give us a percentage is because there's also community scientists. You got to count them, right?
Yes.
And that's a crucial part when it comes to monitoring and kind of keeping an eye on Western monarchs.
I'm so glad you mentioned this because really everyone has a role to play, and it's absolutely astounding how we're able to get these estimates and track the population. Everyday people are able to contribute to community science or citizen science. Whether you're a middle school teacher or a carpenter or a doctor, you can actually volunteer to be trained up and go out to these sites and count butterflies for us as part of the annual Western Monarch Count. It's comprised of two counts. One happens during the Thanksgiving period and the other happens around New Year's. The New Year's count is the one that's coming up later this month, and we'll see how monarchs are faring through the winter storm. So it's a little too late to volunteer this season, but I would recommend checking out Xerces.org, X-E-R-C-E-S.org, and check out our community science page for different opportunities to get involved. There's lots of things ranging from spring, summer, fall, and winter. Butterflies, bees, fireflies. Yeah, we'd love to have you join our efforts.
How was the Thanksgiving count? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, so volunteers sign up. We train them both virtually and in the field. And then we send them out to these overwintering sites along the coast. And they bring binoculars and our data sheets. And they're actually counting butterflies up in the trees with binoculars. And so they're giving us their an estimate of the number of butterflies clustering in these groves. Sometimes the groves have, you know, a couple dozen butterflies. Sometimes they have more than 30,000. So I am really grateful for the folks who are counting 30,000 butterflies in the morning and it's cold. But yeah, it's really, really amazing. And then I tally that data back at Xerces, and then we come up with this estimate. And so what we're seeing this year is we're seeing a little bit of a drop from the past couple years. So back in 2018 through 2020, we saw record lows. In 2019, we saw less than 2,000 butterflies clustering along the coast. I mean, that's
From
millions in the 80s. Really, really steep decline. Then the last couple years, we saw this uptick up into 200,000, 300,000. And this year, what we're seeing is not quite those, you know, not quite the low lows of 2019, but also not as high as last year. So the latest, I'm still kind of analyzing the data right now, but we've seen over 100,000, but yet to see if we'll break 200,000.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we've been speaking with Isis Howard from the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation about the annual migration of monarch butterflies, which is going on right now along the California coast. You mentioned this really, really steep decline. Why aren't monarchs under the California Endangered Species Act? Because they're not, correct?
That's correct. So right now, monarchs are a candidate species for the Endangered Species Act, meaning that they're up for a listing decision. Luckily, we do expect monarchs to be listed by fall of next year, which would offer legal protections to help protect their habitat. So hopefully we will see an increase in protections there so that we can, again, protect those overwintering groves, protect the milkweed habitat, and really see some more law and policy supporting our butterflies.
Yeah, and butterflies are just one of these really important pollinators out there. And you talk about the circumstances that have led to their steep declines. I would imagine that extends to other pollinators as well over the same course of time.
It's true. Monarchs are really special pollinators because they represent the plight of the pollinator. So not only do they have this cultural significance, but they're also representing this conservation effort to protect pollinators at large. So our efforts to protect and support monarch butterflies are then leading to protections and support for our other native pollinators, such as our bumblebees and moths and everything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
If someone thinks, you know, maybe just isn't aware of the importance of a butterfly and thinks like, okay, well, losing a butterfly or a decline in population is unfortunate, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, these insects obviously play an important role in the environment. Can you talk about the niche that monarchs fill?
Yeah, so monarch butterflies are a pollinator. They're not pollinating as many plants as our native bees are, but they're serving as a pollinator, and also they have this interesting relationship with our native plant milkweed. And so we think about the way that animals and plants have co-evolved, and there's kind of this ripple effect out, right? So if we take away monarchs, we're taking away all the species that rely on monarch butterflies for food, you know, for pollination and all of that. Our native songbirds rely on our pollinators in their larval stage to support them and their fledglings. So also, if we're getting rid of our pollinators, we're hurting our native songbird population as well. So if you're not a butterfly or a bee person, maybe you're a bird person. And so, yeah, there's that. And, you know, even bears, like black bears, are eating moths and caterpillars as well. And so we think about all the different species that are relying on each other. There's just downstream effects of these species going down.
They're all connected,
mm-hmm.
You know? And you touched upon the cultural significance of a monarch.
Yeah.
You know, talk about how would you describe the cultural significance of a monarch butterfly?
Yeah, so monarch butterflies really bring together conservation and cultural significance, especially between U.S. and Mexico. So butterflies often symbolize the return of souls, the souls of ancestors, and it coincides with the Day of the Dead, or Dia de los Muertos. And so in October, when the monarchs are starting to return to their groves, that's a similar time to Dia de los Muertos. And so it's believed that each monarch butterfly is a soul of someone who has passed away, and they're returning for a night.
Given that the Xerces Society obviously is priority is conservation, especially it's named after a butterfly that had has gone extinct. Mm-hmm. What is the call to action that your nonprofit has when it comes to protecting Western monarch butterflies and kind of just the key steps that we can keep in mind?
Yeah, so there's several ways that people can help monarch butterflies, and I want to reemphasize that everyone has a role to play, whether you're a community member, a farmer, someone in policy and advocacy. There's something for everyone. So a few of the top things that people can do to help monarch butterflies include planting native plants that support butterflies, like native milkweed and other blooming flowers from early spring to winter. Additionally, you can reduce your reliance on pesticides through eliminating their use around your home, school, workplace, or supporting farms that use fewer pesticides, such as farms that say organic or they use IPM practices. And you can advocate for those changes in your community as well. You can also get yourself and others excited about insects, becoming an advocate. A lot of species need our help, not just monarchs. So you can write to your legislators, get support for wildlife bills, stronger regulations for pesticides, etc. And lastly, you can join a community science project to report monarchs and milkweeds across the landscape or count bees. And I really recommend you check those out. You can, again, go to xerces.org, check out our community science efforts and get involved.
Given that you mentioned that the state is aware that, you know, monarch butterflies, the populations are declining in a very steep fashion and that it may be put on the Endangered Species Act, you know, when could that happen? Could that happen like as early as next year?
Yeah. So we do expect monarchs to be listed on the Endangered Species Act in fall of next year. This has gotten pushed out a little bit over the past couple years. I believe that folks at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife are currently trying to figure out the best ways to protect this species because monarchs have this epic migration that spans hundreds of miles. They're utilizing, you know, urban, suburban, rural landscapes. Like, how do we protect the critical habitat for monarch butterflies when it kind of ranges everywhere? So they have a tough job of trying to figure out how to define this so that we can best protect monarchs under law.
You mentioned legal protections. I mean, what are some of those legal protections if someone is listed, a species is listed under the Endangered Species Act?
Sure. So I'll take the overwintering sites as an example. Monarchs are returning to these same groves of trees year after year. So what we might expect to see would be protections around these groves where people may not be able to cut down the trees. There's something controversial happening right now. And, you know, it's all nuanced. But right now in California, we're doing a lot of fuels reduction work for good reason. We want to protect our communities from fire risk. But also, monarchs are clustering on tree species like eucalyptus or Monterey pine and cypress. And so, you know, eucalyptus often gets kind of demonized in the fire fuels reduction work just because it's so flammable. And it's a non-native tree. Unfortunately, monarchs are clustering on this, and we often see eucalyptus in these overwintering groves. And so what these protections would do is maybe say, like, okay, in this certain area that's defined as the overwintering grove, you would not be able to remove these trees, at least without permits and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that just really illustrates that, you know, when it comes to solutions, it's complicated and there's a lot of competing interests when it comes to really important solutions. Finally, if someone goes to one of the overwintering sites along the coast, is there a good time to go?
Yeah, right now is a wonderful time to go see monarch butterflies.
Or time of day.
Oh, yeah. So my favorite time of day is around 9:30 a.m. Monarchs begin to fly when temperatures exceed 55 degrees. And so if you want to see that epic burst of clusters where monarchs start to, you know, their wings start to ripple and then you see them cascade out of their cluster into flight into the sky, I'd recommend going around 9:30 or right when it starts to warm up.
Yes, and bring a jacket. Yes. Isis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Isis Howard is an endangered species conservation biologist with the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. And we've been talking about the winter migration of monarch butterflies, which is taking place over the next few months across California. And now is the best time to see them at overwintering sites along the coast. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.